Well, last week, do you remember where we quit off? Right in the middle of, it was like, you know, like one of these, they used to have the Saturday morning get-together, soap operas and everything, and the, well, the cowboy movies, and the guy was right in danger, and all of a sudden, next week. The cliffhangers, that's it, the cliffhanger. All right, well, we left you with a cliffhanger last week. Now, I'm going to read down here just a little bit, because we have to go back over it. And Revelation 9, now, how many of you were here last week? All right, how many weren't? All right, so we got to catch you up just a little bit. Revelation, the 9th chapter. And the fifth angel sounded. Now, if you have your chart with the little trumpets and stuff on them, can I borrow yours just a minute? I gave out the last one I had. Do you see this up here? The chart? Where, look where the trumpets are. We're past the middle of the tribulation period. We're in the tribulation period. Now that's what's happening over here. The Antichrist has come on the scene, and there's great torment poured out upon the earth. This is a real bad situation. How many of you read the Book of Enoch last week when it comes to talk about the Book of Enoch is eschatology? All right. No one? Okay, we had some of them. I know we gave some of them out last week. Now that'll just scare you. All the vampires and the land of the living dead and all that stuff, I think they got it right out of the Book of Enoch. Anyway, that's where we are, right in the middle of the tribulation period. Now, the fifth angel sounded, and see where the trumpets are? And I saw a star fall from heaven. Who was the star last week? Lucifer, Satan. All right? And it doesn't say fallen from heaven, having fallen from heaven. All right? He's it is a falling star, but a fallen star. Write that down. Because that's what it says in the original language. A fallen star. Something that's already happened.
My translation says had fallen.
Had fallen, yeah. A had fallen star to earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. All right? In other words, the authority didn't open up the bottomless pit. Now, we talked about the angelic forces. We talked about Michael, and we talked about Lucifer, and we talked about Gabriel's bunch. And what about here again? Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. All right? Michael is over the spiritual realm. Gabriel is over the intellectual realm. All right? And Lucifer was over what?
Material
realm. I do not believe. When Lucifer, it says that he took with him one third of the angelic forces and spiritual forces when he rebelled against God. I do not think that he took all of his with him. I don't think that all of them went. I'll tell you why. Okay? I think some went out of here and some went out of here. The Michael over the spiritual realm, what are the most powerful forces? And angels and spirits over the spiritual realm, okay? Well, it says that all the way from the time that the angelic forces rebelled against God, that some of them had been put in the sophon abyss, the thick darkness of the abyss, okay? That's what it said. Now, I believe that the ones that rebelled from Michael's realm, okay, had to go down to the bottomless pit. Now, these are the dudes that have been turned loose back on the earth because they were too dangerous to put down on the earth. Now, I'm going to get down here to where I stopped at Apollyon. Remember last week I stopped at Apollyon? Well, there was a Greek god called Apollos. And I believe that the Greeks actually related Apollyon to the realm of the angels that fell from the intellectual realm. Okay? All the soothsayers. If sometimes in history, we talk about all kinds of prophecies and everything in history. How many of you have heard of the prophecy? Remember the guy that lived back in the Dark Ages that jumped up?
Nostradamus.
Okay? Remember all these people that had all kinds of stuff? Well, I believe that some people actually communicate with these angels and spirits. Spirits, basically, from the intellectual realm that had fallen. Okay? And that's where you get prophesying. Now, what does God think about dealing with mediums and stuff? It is a horrible sin. It is a horrible sin. Because you are going into areas that you aren't supposed to be, never were supposed to be. Okay? All right, those are the ones that came out of Gabriel's, and that's the intellectual of them. That's how that God deals with mankind, okay, intellectually. Those are messengers. The word angel or angelos is in the Greek word, it means messenger. All right, then we have the material realm. Have you ever heard of guardian angel? Do you believe in guardian angel?
Yeah.
Oh, I do. The Bible talks about it. All the guardian angels, I believe, are still from the material realm. Those are the ones that protect you. They can appear and they can just disappear out there. They can take form. All right? But those are the ones that protect you, and I believe that those are still out of Lucifer's that did not rebel against God. Rosalie. Well, they're under God. Yeah, God. Who took Lucifer's? And this is another thing. Lucifer's over the material realm. Who took Lucifer's place?
Adam.
Thank you, brother. So guess what? They're in your realm. All right? And who will judge the angels in the end time? Sister Andina, who's going to judge angels? Well, the Lord, but His bride is going to judge. All right? His bride is going to judge angels. Why are you going to judge angels? The bride represents saved mankind. All right? Those that are covenant relationship with God and that are following the Lord, those are the ones that are going to judge these angels. Why? Now, is it starting to make sense? A little bit. I know what, you know what? There's a time element in learning. It takes you years sometimes to get somewhere. Brother, have you learned over the years what I taught 25 years ago and 30 years ago? Is it starting to unfold now better now than it did back then? Maybe it was a fog back then. There's a time element in learning. It just takes time before you can understand it. All right, now here we have the three angelic groups. Now let me quickly read down through here. And the fifth angel sounding a star from a fallen star, in other words, a fallen angel, was given the key to open up the bottomless pit. The smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth Akridos. Remember what they are? What are Akridos? Well, there's something that walks on any time of a... Yes, right. Something that walks on its tiptoes. That's what it literally says in Greek. Something walking on tiptoes. All right? And it is the scorpions walk on their tiptoes. Crickets walk on their tiptoes. And spiders walk on their tiptoes. This is giving you the creeps already? All right? Thick people that don't like bugs. This is creepy. All right? Now, these are large animals as big as horses. And power was given them like the scorpions of the earth have power. What does a scorpion do?
Stings
you. Puts poison in you. I mean, those things are powerful. I talked about last week when I caught the scorpions up there in Fish Lake Valley, and I was putting one of them in a jar, and it hit the edge of the jar with its tail, and poison squirted out 30 inches or so, just like a stream out of a hypodermic needle. I just shook all over while I looked at that. I said, I don't want any more of that. That's powerful stuff. Well, let's go on and look a little bit further. I'm going through this quickly. We covered it pretty good last week. Verse 4, and they were told that they should not harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only the men who have not the seal of God on their foreheads. And remember, who are the other ones? There are two groups on the earth at this time. They're both sealed. There are two groups that are sealed. Saved ones and lost ones that are sealed with the mark of the beast. If you're going to work, if you're going to buy and sell or anything at that time, you're going to have the seal of the mark of the beast on your Antichrist. All right? And then we have the saved people. Now, there are going to be some Gentiles saved, and there are going to be saved Jews. And the Jews are going to be also sealed and protected and marked by God, aren't they? All right. And they were not permitted to kill anyone but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. Now, how long is this sting going to last?
5 months.
5 months. How many of you ever been stung by a hornet or a wasp or a bee? It lasts for maybe a day. This sting lasts for 5 months. There's no antidote to it, no stopping of it. Pain for 5 months. And the pain is so terrible. Now, what is God doing? Rosalie. I don't know. This God, that's what God decided to do here. There's a lot of things about the Bible I don't know, and this is one of them. All right. Some things I just say, I don't know. Well, I don't know, but it's going to last for 5 months. The reason why it's going to last so long is to God to show us something. And to show the saints at that time that no matter how much torment people are in, when they don't want to come to God, they won't come to God no matter what. Sometimes when you're dealing with your family or friends or people, and even when they're faced with death, they'll go out of this world cursing God, won't they? Instead of repenting and calling upon Him to save their soul. And they could go into God's everlasting arms. But they don't. And in those days men will seek death and shall not find it. Death will flee from them. They cannot even commit suicide. They won't die. God allows them to suffer. You know what? It is going to affect some people because there are going to be people saved at this time. And the appearance of the locusts were like what? Horses. 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 Prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns like gold, and their faces like the faces of men. And I forgot to cover this last week. Their faces like the faces of men. What is the face of a man like? What is the face of a chicken like? What does a chicken look like? What's its face look like? Huh? It has a beak, and it has an eye on this side and an eye on this side. Okay? What about a lion? He's looking straight ahead. He's got eyes looking straight ahead. Those are the eyes of a predator. How about an owl? The eyes of a predator. A wolf. The eyes of a predator. These are predators, and they're not prey. Okay? And they had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. Remember when we talked about the teeth of lions? One of the strongest mouths in the world is a lion's mouth for crushing power. They had breasts like breastplates of iron. In other words, they were they couldn't be penetrated. They couldn't be stopped. They couldn't be killed. That's what all this is saying. They are unstoppable. Now, God has allowed these people to go out, these things to go out. And it said, the sound of the wings like the sound of chariots and many horses rushing into battle. And they have tails like scorpions and stings in their tails. And it is their power to hurt men for 5 months. Verse 11. And they have a king over them, the angel of the abyss. Yes, brother.
5 months probably the fifth trumpet.
Yeah. Well, maybe 5 months and five the fifth trumpet. That's just as good an answer as anything. All right. The king over them is the king of the angel of abyss, and his name in Hebrew is Abaddon. All right. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in the Greek, his name is Apollyon. All right. Destruction and destroyer, that's what that name means. Now, this Greek god named Apollos. Greek god named Apollos. Who was he? How many of you knew anything about this guy? Apollos. They had temples to Apollos. They had one great temple to Apollos. Can't remember exactly where it was at this moment. But it had 120 pillars. Real tall pillars. There was a whole... Remember these angel subdivisions here, okay? Division. This whole area here. Alright, there's pillars all around the thing. And in here was a temple, and then inside the temple was a knothole. That was a holy hole. Isn't that so much like it was God's temple. Satan, you know, he's an imitator, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Apollyon
and this Apollos, this guy must be over the intellectual realm. Because you know what Apollos did?
What did he do? He was the messenger between the underworld
and the now world.
And they usually had a woman that sat in here in the Holy of Holies and
getting ahead of myself. She was on a tripod and she sat on a chair. She sat right here like this. And there was a great pit in the earth that went down into the earth, and fumes and vapors would come up out of that earth.
Does this sound like what we're talking about here? Well, what do you think? Okay. Now, this was a very sacred place to the Greeks and even to the Romans. Okay, they adopted a lot of them. These pillars, it took 57 years' weight of work for one workman to build one pillar. This temple area. 57 years. One man worked for 57 years for each of these 120 pillars that were around in this thing. This thing was really beautiful, beautifully laid out. When God does something, Satan always tries to make it look prettier, doesn't he? Well, they would go here and they would camp out. I see these things on television, or hear of them. People wanting to communicate with the dead and everything. Now this Apollyon, or Apollos, he's the god of the underworld. Now, when somebody lost something, Acts 16:16 is another example of this. This is a traveling Apollyon, basically. All right? Now let's go there and look at that one for just a minute. Quickly. Acts 16 and verse 16. By the way, I'm bringing all this out of the Greek language. You're not going to see it in English much. This was what I wrote, my master's thesis. I wrote it on this, basically this chapter of the book of Acts. And it happened as they were going to a place of a prayer, a certain slave girl having the spirit of divination. What it means is the spirit of the great snake, the Pithona. All right? Met us, who was bringing her masters a prophet by what? Fortune telling. She was a traveling minister of Apollyon. She was one of these guys, dudes, like here. Okay? All right, this is who she is. Following after Paul, and she kept on crying out in imperfect tense. She kept on crying out, this guy is great. These are the bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. Now, is this girl taking him away from him? What is she doing? She's drawing him in. She's validating herself by saying, these guys are great. Okay? And he turned to her and said to the what? To the spirit that was in her. All right, now, remember the angel forces up there in the spirit realm. Who do you think he was talking to? A spirit from the intellectual realm. The communicator. Okay? This is a fallen spirit. All right? And I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her, and it came out of her the very moment. Second. Then what happened? And her masters got very angry because her prophet was gone. Now, who told this woman how to prophesy? Satan. She was one of his emissaries. All right? This happens sometimes. Do these fortune tellers, can they really tell fortunes sometimes? Absolutely. You have to realize that spirits live forever. They don't come along and die. Spirits, all the way from when God created them, they have never fallen asleep. They have never rested. They are just moving spirits. Okay? And they know everybody that ever lived on the earth. And every person. They have seen. They saw Abraham Lincoln come from a boy, split logs, and become a lawyer, and become president of the United States. They know all of this stuff. They're around you. They're in your home and in your mind sometimes, reading your thoughts. And that's how people can say something, they can bring things out that nobody even knows about. They think. All right. Now this woman, yes. No. Spirits and angels are different. All right. Angels are angelos. Spirits are pneumas. Okay? The spirits are ministering spirits. Now, some people, some preachers, some teachers don't believe that angels and spirits are different. But I see a difference in them. And they're not only a different word for them, but they do different things. Okay? Angels have form. Spirits never have form. Spirits seek human or animal flesh to live and talk and work through. Angels do not do that. Angels take form. Alright? Angels appear in a form and they always look like what? Men. Alright. We have many examples in the Bible, but spirits seek to dwell in human or animal flesh. Okay? There's a difference in them, okay? You're going to get different answers, but I'm just telling you what I have learned from the Bible, okay? Now, let's get back to this story here. This woman and this woman here hanging over this pit. Now, they would come and they would seek presence with the priest of this temple. They would go out and they'd sit outside the door. And they'd wait. They would camp out in the area and sometime wait for a week, a month, 6 months to have a presence, to be heard, their request to be heard. They put them on hold out there. But then it made more suspense, didn't it? Alright? They come out here and they wait for a long time. Now, you see how this traveling salesman over here in Acts 16:16 is a thought. Did you see why she was buried, making a lot of money? They didn't have to go to the temple. This woman's traveling around. Okay? I'm going to tell you a little bit about this. You come in here, finally the priest comes out. He comes out and opens the great doors to the temple of Apollo. And he walks out and he'll give a big announcement out there and he'll say, "Now, what do you want?" And the guy comes up there and he'll say, "My wife's uncle died and he left a will. And he got a lot of money, but we don't know where it is. Buried someplace. Can you tell us where it is?" Do you think that spirit might be able to tell him if this is a genuine spirit of evil? Sure. You think a spirit can tell some police officer somewhere where somebody was buried? You just better not mess with it. Does this happen all the time? Sure. Okay. So she'll say, "Now, I want to know where my wife's uncle's fortune is." He'll write down her request. He'll go in here and he'll take it to this woman. Another guy out there, I bought a field. These are just examples. I bought a field out here, a farm. But we found on that farm, we found a clay deposit out there that could make the best pottery we've ever seen. Should we go in business making pottery? Will it succeed if we go into business making pottery? Now, these are some of the requests that they would actually have. I have bought another farm out here in the mountains. We found there's some high-grade marble in there. Should we go into business selling marble? They come and they'd ask them these things. They'd go in there and they'll take the request and they'll give it to this woman. Now this is going to really spook you here just a little bit because we're going to understand something about this. They'd give this request to the woman. Or the woman that had the spirit of the thief on her, Acts 16:16. And they'd take it here and she'd chant. And then she'd go off speaking in some ecstatic language to the gods. Okay? And then the priests on the outside, they would interpret that language and write it down, her answer. Because she is speaking to the gods. This is what they call the God language. All right? Do you think that, do you know anything in Christianity like that? Huh? You ever heard anything? You know where it came from? Right here. This is an old thing, old practice. They could fortune tell your fortunes. Tell prophecy and all of this. What spirit and what realm was this dealing in? All right, into the spirit where Gabriel, some of the fallen spirits from Gabriel's area. Okay? Then they come up here and they write it down. And if they were here, they'd give the answer to the priest, and then the priest would interpret it, and then he'd write it in a poem. Poetic poem. You know, it's cost a lot of money, people. They're really making a big deal out of this. Now they're going to make a poem out of this thing. Then he's going to come out here and he said, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This is what Apollyon has said. Hey, George, that seal of marble you bought, forget it. Sell it. It's cursed." And out there, that guy that had the field that had the clay in it, that's real good. There's a real market for clay pots, so go ahead and take care of that thing. And hey, by the way, your uncle, your wife's uncle, just go out there and look underneath the front porch of that second stone over there, and that's where all the gold's buried. But they do this in poem. Now, this is how it happened. Just think about today. God expects us to live by faith, doesn't he? That's why we don't have all the answers right now. God knows all the answers. Why do you go through the things that you go through sometimes? It teaches you something. It teaches you something. Well, we have hard things happen to us in our lives. There's some times that you just don't have an answer for things in this world, do you? What do you have to do? What's the old adage? Just trust the Lord. It's in His hands. People always want to have some ability to change their future, don't they? But what does God do? Trust the Lord. That's what He tells us. Trust the Lord. That's why so many times God's people get discouraged because all kinds of bad things happen to children of God, don't they? You know, children of God die young. Do preachers die young sometimes? Some of the greatest preachers I've ever known died young. But why? I remember one time when I was going to the seminary, a long time. Fernando and Tony remember that. You remember Brother So? The Korean man? He came and spoke for me. And he was a great preacher of God, the greatest linguist that I have ever known in this world. And I taught him Greek and Hebrew. I was his teacher. That was a joke. But I did teach him some Greek, and I did teach him Greek and Hebrew, but he taught me Russian, he taught me German, he taught me Latin and everything. We had to all study all these languages anyway. You remember Brother So?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went on the mission field, and I think he was on the mission field for 1 year, and he dropped dead. Studied, I mean, you never saw anybody. And that guy, I was running a contest. We were the top students in the school. I tell you what, he never got anything but an A. He come and look at Mike. He said, "Here's my report card. Let me see yours." 5 years he received the doctorate. Took me longer. Great, great man of God. But he went to the mission field and he died. Was it a year he was on the field or less? Wasn't very long. This very short time. He died. And I still have a little plaque that he gave me with the last letter that he sent to me. And he thanked me so much for teaching him and asked me to pray for him on the field. And I just absolutely, that hurt me so bad, I can't tell you how much that hurt me. This guy prepared. I mean, he wouldn't even eat. He just worked and worked and worked and prepared and went back to Korea to build a seminary and to teach God's people, and he dropped dead. Many years later, I finally realized that he had run his race. That was the end of it. That's what God wanted to do. He was tested. He run. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't know what we're going to do, do we? Do you really know a year from now? Do you know if you can be alive a year from now? You don't know that. But God does. Sometimes when we have these difficulties and everything in our lives, God is just training us. God already knows what you're going to do. You know that? But who is the receiver, the recipient of that information? Brother Levy. You know, we saw Brother Levy. He's gone to be with the Lord now. I saw him suffer for many years. I saw him kept on. I never saw a man tougher than that. And he told me, he said, "Brother Jim, I want you to preach my funeral, and you preach the gospel. People are going to be there that will never go to church otherwise. Preach the gospel." Well, people were saved at that funeral service. He got his way. His brother came forward. I mean, the very moment I sat down in front, Brother Raymond came forward. He said, "I am leaving Catholicism. I am going to leave my family. I want to be the kind of leader in my family that Levy wasn't his. I have my children, my grandchildren. They need to know the Lord in the right way." And he said, "I want to do it." Talked with him yesterday. He's still excited about it. Very sick. Again, sickness and disease. But you know what? He's putting up a fight. Why do we go through these things for each other? We're encouraging to each other. We're encouraging each other. Now, all of the bad things that happen out there to the world, and to those people in the world, they just come and go. But God's children, nothing happens to you by accident. You know that? God can use every little detail of your life for somebody's good. Every little detail. So here we have Apollyon, the communicator between the netherworld, the underworld, the pit of darkness and the world. Do you think we ought to do anything with that kind of stuff? Do you think the child of God ought to be with us? Verse 12. "And the first woe is past, and behold, two woes are still coming." Now, do you see the woes on that chart there, too? All right. We have seals, we have trumpets, and bowls. All right. And here are our woes over in this area, too. "The first woe is past, and two woes are still coming." There's three woes, and after these things, Metatopic. Verse number 13. Who's got verse number 13? We're just getting into today's lesson. All right, Revelation 9 and verse 13.
"And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from four horns of the golden altar, which is before God."
All right. The sixth angel sounded. Look where that trumpet is. All right. "The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar." What are the horns of the altar, by the way? For mercy. All right. And the altar. This is the altar. All right. "The four horns of the altar, which is before God." And verse 14 now, Brother Harold, you got that one?
"One stands the sixth angel who has a trumpet. Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates."
All right. The great river Euphrates. Is this named the place? Over in the Middle East is the most peace and calm over there that I've ever seen in my life. In history, it is a land of a rainy. Shalom. What a joke, huh? Do you think God is allowing the players to get in place? What do you do when you play baseball? They go out on the field. They got the guys coming up the bat and they got the guys out the field. What do you do when you've got football and don't know anything about it, but what do? Brother Fernando? Your coach tells you to get out there on the field, and how they do? They line up, don't they? They've got a way that they line up somehow out there. I used to have to do that in school and I hated it. But I never liked football, period. Baseball I like. Football is baloney. But they had all these little things and signals they were sending to each other and doing this. You run this way, you run that way. All kinds of a playing plan. Guess what? The players are out there. It names the place where they're going to be. Euphrates. Where is Euphrates? All right. What is the land between the Tigris and the Euphrates? What's that called? What's that called?
The Garden of Eden.
Well, what's it called? No, come on. Now, what's the real name for that land? No. What's the land between the Tigris and the Euphrates? What's it called in history? Mesopotamia, the land between the rivers. So here we are. We know where that is, don't we? All right. We know where it is. God names the place. The great river of Euphrates. And verse number 15 now. You got that, Brother Mike?
And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released so that they might kill the great of mankind.
Now we have the armies out here. Now we know who the angels are going to kill. How many? One third of them. Remember how much...
Now, I look right on this thing. We've had different color chalk. We're chalk on the dark ages. You know?
Boy, that's how old your teacher is.
So you have to draw with the blackboard or green board or whatever they are.
How many of the Gentiles are going to be killed in the tribulation period?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All right, 5, 6 are going to be killed. So only 1/6 are going to be left. Now, here we have Jews. 1, 2, 3. It divides up the Jews in thirds. How many of the Jews are going to be killed?
2/3.
All right. So we're going to have 1/6 of the Gentiles left in the world going to the millennial reign in their bodies, still alive. And we have 1/3 of the Jews that are going to the millennial reign in their bodies alive. Okay? Period. On the earth. Now, I don't want to... If you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, I mean, that is the most ridiculous name, Jehovah's Witness, because Jehovah, whom they say they're witness of, is they're trying to do away with, because Jehovah is Jesus. And they try to just wipe him out. But Jehovah is Jesus. That's his name. The name Jehovah means he who shall become. And he is the one that became. There are many titles of Jehovah. And he fulfilled those titles. There are still a few of them yet. But one title, he who shall become, was fulfilled in John 1:14. Plain. And John 1:18. It was fulfilled. Well, the Lord, Jehovah, is going to take over this earth for you. Those 1/6 of the Gentiles and 1/3 of the Jews are going to be his emissaries on the earth. They're going to really rule and reign with him here, or for him on this earth. Now let's go on a little bit further. 15 says the 1/3 of mankind are going to be killed. That's quite a little bit. So that's however many that's going to be. Maybe that's part of the Jews. Maybe that's part of this bunch over here. I don't know. Number 16. What does it say there, Brother Harold, in your translation? You've got New American Standard, don't you? Okay, let's translate this out and say what all this gobbledygook says there in King James.
And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them.
All right, 200 million. That's what it literally says, 200 million. Is that a lot of people? Now, how many of them are going to be destroyed at this time? 1/3 of them. Okay? So that's a lot of people in there. Alright? A lot of people. Now, there are a lot of cross-references to this. I could go back. I'm rushing through this because we're going to go back to the Bible in 8 ages. But we're going to, if you really want to study this book in great detail, I did 96 lessons on it. Okay? From Greek. I have those still that you can go back to. But we're going to go over it. If I get your interest in this, you really get it. But I can't teach it every time like that because a lot of other things I want to teach before I drop dead, okay? All right. I want to cover a little more ground. Number 17. Read that, Brother Harold.
And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of their horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths proceeded fire and smoke and brimstone.
Now, I don't know exactly what we have here. These could be literal horses. I believe in literally interpreting the Bible. Or this could be what John thought was a horse. What could it be?
A tank.
All right. The brimstone. Brimstone. What is the basic element of gunpowder?
Sulfur.
Brimstone. All right. This could be a this could be a shoot 'em up cannons. All right. We know, you go back, that the one battle that takes place is a nuclear battle. Because people are going to dissolve while they're standing on their feet. There's only one thing that can happen when you do that. That's a nuclear blast. Okay? It talks about that. They're literally dissolving while they're standing on their feet. Okay? Number 18. Luis, are you there?
Yeah. By these two things, a third of mankind was killed by fire and smoke and brimstone came out of their mouth.
All right. Now, whatever kind of fighting machines these are, whatever these people are driving or riding, these are the soldiers that are shooting at each other, okay? Now, some of the armor, body armor and things that people cut on, of course, they have guns, don't they? All right. They have all kinds of stuff. They even got fighting machines. How many of you like toy trains and airplanes and stuff like that? You know that they've got all kinds of little vehicles that go in with bombs on them, little toy airplanes and trains and all kinds of stuff, vehicles that they use now to fight. All kinds of stuff like this. Number 19. All right. Number 19. Are you right there, Russ?
Yep.
You want to read that for me?
Their power was in their mouth and in their tails.
All right.
For the tails had heads like snakes and the power to injure people.
All right. And the power to injure people. From the front and from the back. There wasn't any safe end to this animal. Tell her not the. You know, a horse, you grab him by the head and stay up there because his heels are very dangerous. Okay? Same thing with a mule. But this animal here, or whatever it is, it's dangerous from both ends. Whichever way you are, you're in danger. Okay? All right. Now, number 20. Terrell.
And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which could neither see nor hear nor walk.
All right. Look at that one now for just a minute. These last two verses we're going to use to finish up this lesson. And the remaining part of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not walk. Did not repent. You know, I'm an old-fashioned preacher. If I give an invitation to people, I say, repent of your sins. I don't say change your mind. Because the Bible says what? Repent. You can either be sorry for what you've done with your life. Because that's what the Bible teaches you to do. When I was up, how many of you saw me baptize Raymond and my mother? One of the things I asked him, I didn't say, did you repent of your sins? I mean, that might shock people today. But do you? Is that important? Yes, it is. You're not going to be saved without repenting, people. You don't go down and just change your mind or make a decision. You have to repent of your sins. That's very important. What happened with this bunch? They would not repent. They were not sorry for what they had done. That's the whole difference between conversion and just nothing. Is repentance. Repentance, you begin to hate what you did. Yeah. You hate your old sins. So you don't want to go back there anymore. That's the difference. They did not repent of the works of their hands. So as not to worship what? Demonios. What is this? What is fortune telling?
Devil
worship. That's exactly what it is. Fortune telling is devil worship. When you try to seek something, when you try to live by something but by faith, that's not trusting God. All right? And it says they did not. Sure can. Money can become an idol. I talked to somebody here a while back. He said he got a brand new pickup. The only way that his wife would allow him to buy that pickup, it cost him $5.95 a day or something like that to buy this pickup until it was finished being paid for. He figured this all out. She had figured it all out. But the only way he could do that is if he didn't eat lunch. And when he bought it, he said, that's okay.
Forget the pickup.
I'm going to tell you something. When money is that important to you, there's something wrong. Money becomes a god to you. It becomes a god to you. And the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and wood, which neither can see nor walk. How much did J. Paul Getty leave behind?
Everything.
How much did Howard Hughes leave behind? Everything. How much? What's that guy that does all these? They've got this real something TV or whatever, you know, this
Trump.
How much do you think he's going to leave behind?
Oh.
Everything. You know what you're going to take out of this world? Only what you did for the Lord. That's your bank account. What did Jesus say to do? Store your treasures up in heaven. Don't worry about right here. I mean, we need to take care of ourselves. Yes. But sometimes we like to do it better than what we ought to. Store up treasures in heaven where what? Where moth or rust or death doesn't have anything to do with it. And remember what I told you so many times, especially on Wednesday night. I teach on Wednesday night just down the hallway. I teach Greek. And I tell you when you leave the class so many times, I say, go out and do something eternal this week. Eternal. You're going to do it one way or the other anyway. But people, go out and do something eternal this week that you can take with you. Go out and do something that you can take with you. Something eternal. Verse 21, they did not repent of their what? Murders? Nor of their what? Sorceries. Nor of their... You know, a lot of this sorcery business, this is drug abuse. Drug dealing. And their immorality. Nor of their thievings. Well, you know what? If you just take the Ten Commandments and just go right down through all of them right there, we just covered them all right there. Yeah. We covered them all right there. Brother David is kind enough. The other David is on vacation, but we have an assistant prayer leader, Brother David Reimer, here today, and I have incorporated him to come up here and bring your prayer leader today. Thank you, brother. Thank you for your attention.